This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you very much for being here. You are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. And boy, oh boy, am I excited today. If you will follow my social media, you have seen for the last couple of weeks, I have been talking about wanting to do a show about the happenings going on in Hollywood now with Mr. Harvey Weinstein, with Mr. Kevin Spacey, and just, you know, get a good tone of the industry. Find out from someone that has a good record in this industry, you know, how they feel about it. And when I wanted to do this show, there was only one person that I wanted to have. So I tried and I tried, and I finally got her. As well, if you have followed my social media, you saw that I called my guest, which is Amy Brenneman, I called my guest a triple threat in this industry. Well, I kind of settled her short, and I apologize. She is a quadruple threat in this industry. And what I mean by that is Amy Brenneman is a very successful and established performer. You know her from Judging Amy. You know her from Private Practice. You know her from HBO's The Leftovers. You've seen all of her work, and you know how great she is. As well, and how I got to be blessed to know Amy is because she is also a successful and established producer. She produced my show, Heartbeat, which I do believe, which was one of the best shows that was out there, but, you know, I am a little biased. Amy Brenneman is also an established and successful writer in this industry. But more importantly to me, why I really wanted Amy on this show today is because she is one of the established and successful women in this industry. She has worked hard. She has done what she had to do. I'm pretty sure she has sacrificed enough from me. I just want to introduce my friend, my boss, my everything person that gave me my first big job. Miss Amy Brenneman, thank you, ma'am, for being here. How are you?
Goodness, I'm very touched by that. And it was very easy to hire you because you're very talented and smart. So it was not a sacrifice at all. But it's wonderful to be here, and how cool that you do this. Awesome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Now, we are going to, if you don't mind, I would just like to jump right into it. And I'm the kind of person, you know me, I'm not a shallow water type person. Let's just jump right in the deep water, if you don't mind. Starting with this Harvey Weinstein situation, sure, we're going to talk about it. But my first question to you about this is, how much responsibility, in your opinion, does Hollywood hold for what Harvey Weinstein was able to do? And what I mean by that is, you know, you are hearing people coming out denouncing Harvey Weinstein, which is great. You know, it's great for their look. It's great for them to separate themselves. But I just have to be a little honest here. Some of the people that are coming out, it's kind of hard for me to believe they didn't kind of already know that this was going on. So in the scope of, okay, so yeah, Harvey Weinstein, he's guilty for what he did. He's wrong for what he did. I get that. As I said, we're going to get into it. But let's start with Hollywood. What responsibility do you think Hollywood has to something like this happening?
Hollywood's a big word. I don't know what you mean specifically by Hollywood.
What I mean by Hollywood, I mean anyone that works in and around this industry that may have had some level of, sure, nobody wants to be a whistleblower. I get that. nobody wants to be a whistleblower to a powerful person because they're going to turn around and seek vengeance on you. I get that also. But for as many people to come out and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this happened. Let's just take specifically, for instance, when I say Hollywood, let's take the interaction that went between Rose and Ben, Rose McGowan and Ben Affleck, where Ben Affleck was denouncing it. So Rose McGowan gets on and says, wait a minute, bud, you kind of knew this already. So that's what I mean when I say, right. What responsibility?
Well, I guess the reason I want to break it down is that I feel like there's all sorts of things happening, all sorts of really important things happening. And I think that, you know, when there's a groundswell, you know, I mean, when there's, you know, it's when we first, when Black Lives Matter movement first started really coalescing, when we saw police brutality, you know, there's a wave of something. There's a wave of something that's been going on for a long, long, long time. And because of the power structure, we didn't know. And then it comes into the culture and we can talk about it. Speaking about this thing, I mean, I think we can thank that Access Hollywood piece with Donald Trump. I think it was so shocking that somebody could say that kind of thing and win, right? Win in, yes. In his case, the presidency. So I think the culture is sort of ripe to go like, what the hell? Like, but at the same time, I think that each case is sort of different. You know, I think that what I'm interested in, and to your point, I know exactly what you mean. My interest in really kind of reading as many specific accounts and talking to friends who have been through this, it really has to do with power as much as anything else, right? So, of course, like Ben Affleck, but the thing that interests me, frankly, is, you know, I think Reese Witherspoon had an experience when she was underage. She was a teenager in a movie. And, you know, the predators and the pedophiles, and I mean, they're their own sick category. But the yes. Heartbreaking thing, and to your point, is that Reese did the responsible thing. She told her representation, she told the producers, and they told her to, you know, it's like, well, you're alive and you survived kind of thing. So I think with any, it's like a dysfunctional family, right? It's not necessarily just the person who's like doing the abuse or taking the drink, but to your point, your very good point, like we seem to evolve into a culture of shutting people up. And that's even yeah. more disturbing than the behavior itself.
Would you go so far as to, and this was a bit of a debate I had with somebody earlier today, would you go so far as to put more responsibility on others other than Harvey Weinstein? Or do you see Harvey as being the ace number one? And I hope you understand what I mean by that.
Yeah. I mean, it's both. I mean, sure. I mean, he's, you know, it's not me to have blame, right? I mean, it's sort of like a truth and reconciliation moment, right? And so you say, okay, this thing happened, and then, you know, this young woman took a step, or this young man took a step, and then or not. I think that, and I also think what's really important is, you know, and this is why it's sort of an echo chamber with the presidency, because we are not unique out here, you know, in this particular industry. And I think that what people, you know, the locker room talk, boys will be boys, what you have to put up with. I think that it's just this very powerful moment of women and men, you know, whoever. But again, I feel like I look at it somewhat in terms of gender, but obviously with, you know, with Kevin Spacey, it's not about gender. It's about power. And it's about, and I think the other huge elephant in the room, you know, as a friend of mine had an experience, and she was 19 at the time, but she was a kid actor growing up. And she said, you know, the big thing that's also going to come out is the underage aspect, which is a whole other level of horror.
Yeah.
So I think this is part of, you know, as with most groups, I see them in terms of family systems, and I think that it is all coming out right now. And it's great. I mean, and then what I think, you know, we all have to do as a culture is hold space for the process and not just simply react or point fingers or, you know, my manager went to a couple of weeks ago. He was accompanying a client to a dinner, and I think it was for Elle magazine or was something sort of female oriented, and women were on the red carpet and microphones were going in women's face going like, what is your rape story? You know, and I'm like, okay, it cannot
wow.
be
okay.
something chic or something unconsidered. So all of it's true.
Okay, so you did bring up, you know, kind of the ties between this situation and the president. So here's a question for you. We sat through, as a country, we sat through and watched 20 kids get shot in an elementary school. Nothing happened for gun control. We watched 9 people get shot in a church, which should, in essence, be one of the safest places you can go. Nothing was done for gun control. We saw what happened in Orlando, Las Vegas, Colorado, Hollywood, New York. Nothing happened with gun control. Do you think that with what happened with not only Harvey Weinstein, but what happened soon after with Kevin Spacey, because as you said, you know, it's not gender because of Kevin Spacey. So now that you've got both of these, do you think that this is going to be enough? And also, let's not, you know, forget the president of Amazon Prime that had to take a leave of absence because he was inappropriate, supposedly, allegedly, with females. So do you think with these three bigwigs, so to speak, coming out in this situation, do you think the culture of this town is going to change? Or do you think we as the family of Hollywood are going to just be up in arms about this for a few weeks and then everything is just going to fade away or go back?
No. There's never going to be, a young woman is never going to have a meeting at the Montage alone again, ever. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People have already talked about, I'm not going to get Weinstein'd, you know? And I also think, listen, I think it's, there's a lot to this conversation. You know, one is Wonder Woman being a huge hit, right? One is like sort of getting women and females out of this kind of, surrendered, like blinky, I'll do anything, you know, but I do think things are gonna, and I think it's sort of, as you know, or maybe not, but I'm very involved in sort of gun regulation as well. And I think even that is shifting, because, you know, it's just like, you know, 94% of Americans believe that guns need to be regulated. 93% of gun owners, you know, now what that means, you know, but it's getting horrifically ridiculous. And I use that word, you know, so I think that, you know, you different, right? There needs to be regulation. There needs to be laws on the books, much like we regulate cars. I mean, you look at the stats of like when it became a law that people need to wear, it was a law that you have to wear a seatbelt, gun deaths by automobiles went down. I mean, it's a public health crisis, and now it is being more and more seen as that. You also follow the money. I mean, I think with anything, you know, it seems cultural, right? It seems like a culture war. And then you go, oh, that guy gets money from the NRA. That's how he votes. It's really kind of simple. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, and I'm not holding out a fantasy about this being an easy process, nor last night being a bellwether of anything in particular, but people are woke up, right? Mm-hmm. They are woke.
Yeah.
Whether or not you need laws, like I believe Harvey Weinstein will go to jail. I mean, the city of New York is going to press charges like any person, and yes. I believe that he'll be convicted. And I do believe that is a game changer.
Do you think he'll ever be back in any producing role? Do you think he'll ever make a comeback?
No.
Do you think he should be able to? If he cleans himself up, do you think he should get a second chance?
No, he had lots of chances. There's other great people out there that can produce. No.
Yes, there are, namely yourself. So, yeah.
I mean, it's like how many chances? No, I don't. No, I mean, I don't listen. I'm not wagging my finger and judging him, but it's too much. It's too much. I mean, it's you know, these stories are too much and they're too many.
But because of, and I, again, we know each other, so you know, I'm not trying to, you know, stroke you in any way by saying this, but you you, as I said in my introduction, there's a lot that you have done in this industry. So do you really think you're being judgmental about him, or do you think that you have worked and sacrificed hard enough and earned the right to have a real opinion about this? Because I don't see what you have to say, what someone of your caliber has to say, whether it was you or anybody else.
I mean, I have the same opinion I would have about anybody. It's like you're not allowed to force yourself. I mean, he's a sexually depraved predator, right? So any sexually depraved predator, I don't use the word judgment. I'm just like, remove him, get him help, get him out of there, you know, and take him out of the codependent system that's propping him up, you know. So, you know, you know, to your point, very astute, you know, at the beginning, it's like, oh my God. I mean, you hear about, you know, it's just horrifying, you know. It's like you show up as, it's like, I'm going to meet this big time producer and I'm really excited. And it's like, oh, I have to go up to his room. I mean, and yes, the agency served up those women just like pretty prostitutes. I mean, they are doing a lot of soul searching and quaking in their boots, and they should, you know?
Yeah.
So, but again, I think it's, you know, I was talking to a dear friend of mine who's an actor, and we've acted a lot together, and he's a wonderfully warm, open, and, you know, we all have done love scenes, and, you know, so he's like, oh my God, like I told that one acting partner she was pretty, and I was like, it's power. My friend that went through an experience with, it's not Harvey Weinstein, but one of these, like, horrible people, he said, I want you to, you know, give me a blowjob. She said, I won't. He said, you know, you're not going to get the job if you don't give me a blowjob. I mean, that's transactional. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. And yes, along the way, we can all think about how to be more appropriate and how making sure that whatever we're saying is being received. But it's power. It's power. I mean, it's what fucking Donald Trump said in that bus. Yeah, I can do anything. When you're a star, you can do anything. That's what we're talking about.
Do you think there's any truth to that? And do you think that that severely adds to the problem? Because, and let me just be clear and honest, I'm not somebody that, I'm not a, how can I say it? I'm not a one night stand type guy. That's not me. But I tell you like this, ever since Heartbeat, if I was a one night stand guy, I think I have a pretty happy life. And it has nothing to do with J. Lewis Mills. It has nothing to do with people thinking, oh, I'm this really attractive guy, or I'm just this hot guy, I've got this great male magnetism. Okay, I might, but that's not what it is. The fact of the matter is, it's just the fact that I was on a television show. That's it. That's all that some people will look at. So because that is, in my opinion, a problem, how much do you think that perpetuates this type of a problem in where a predator is actually, in so many ways, able to do something like this, and it can be kept quiet because of the tone or temperature of the town, if that makes sense?
Yeah, but I don't think it's the town. I mean, I think anybody that's responsible for bringing in a lot of money. I mean, you have basketball players, you have, you know, the CEOs of whatever, you have politicians, you know, it's like, it's not just Hollywood, you know, but I think that it's like, if a movie star, you know, if the number one person on a call sheet for like $100 million movie, you know, is like boozy and comes in and, you know, they're going to prop him up, man, because they're like, you know, at the center of the storm. Harvey Weinstein was at the center of the storm. You know, he was responsible for bringing a lot of money to, you know, making a lot of money, prestige, employing a lot of people. Well, you know, all of it. But that's not just Hollywood. I mean, that's, you know,
everywhere.
Athletes and politicians and, you know. But again, you can look at it in a pretty economic, purely in terms of economics, you know. I mean, that is one aspect to this story, you know. And then as it trickles down, you know, you can have somebody that doesn't have that kind of stature also being inappropriate and feeling, you know, and my fear is, you know, and it's, I don't lay this at the feet of Donald Trump, but the more that's kind of not only normalized, but sort of glorified, that's what, I mean, then it's like, really? We're back in, you know, it's as if, I mean, it's, insane. I also do think that kind of swagger and chauvinism is a last gasp of something, because you just, you know, and it's a very, very fragile ego. That's what that is, you know. Everyone was like jacking off into plants. Like, that was a whole other thing. I don't know. That's
weird. You know, I do agree with that, because, you know, I can say one of the actors that I absolutely, you know, I probably would have died to meet was Denzel Washington. And when I had the opportunity to meet him, you know, just the aura, just the vibe that was coming from him. You know, he's one of those people that I believe he's as even kilter as he is because he understands how good he is. So he doesn't have to wear any of those fake faces. He doesn't have to try and, like, if there's somebody coming up like me, you know, he sat and just gave me straight advice. I can't say that about other actors that, you know, I have met in this town. So what I say that to say, I do notice that there is a, you know, there's a particular group of actors who are so within themselves and so understand everything that something like this, it would almost be unfathomable. Someone like a Harvey Weinstein that was a bit of a taskmaster, that was a bit of rude and mean and obnoxious, you could absolutely see. Now, you said that you think it's a power thing. Someone that I had conversation with earlier today said they think it was a power thing. So I'll ask you the same question I asked the person earlier today. If Harvey Weinstein wasn't a producer mogul, if he wasn't as successful in this business, if Harvey Weinstein worked at UPS, do you think he would be going through the same situation? Do you think he would be a predator, or do you think his predatorism, that's not a word, but you understand, do you think his predator came from his power?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's, I think he's a sick guy. I mean, I think that he was given, you know, he would not have been given access to these fabulous women who were, you know, fawning over him for sure if he was at UPS. So it's almost like whether he had that predilection or not, he would not have had the opportunity. So it's like any addiction. I mean, it probably grew, and certainly nobody said, hey, you're a sick guy, get help, you know, or cut that out, you know. But I don't know.
Did you at any time, and I'm absolutely obviously not asking you to divulge any X-rated stories, but did you ever have any business dealings with Harvey Weinstein and you got a creepy vibe from him?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I never met him. I mean, I might have, no. I mean, the answer is no. But, you know, I've run into, I came out here from my funky little theater company in New York, and I was so, you know, I was playing men half the time. We were, you know, mostly gay men and me. So coming out here, like bumping into some of that chauvinism was like, what?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, and also I had, you know, as you can tell, I'm sort of bossy and I like to be part of the leadership. You know, I don't have to run the whole joint. But, you know, my theater company, we ran by consensus. So it was a very, very democratic way of producing art. And when I first came out here, obviously I was just an actor, which was fine. But to be slapped down to the kids' table, I was like, what? Like, why? You know, and I was a young enough woman where it was I knew, you know, I actually honestly wasn't perceived that, because I'm just so mouthy and I just sort of start talking. but even those glimpses of like, oh my God, I'm an actor, I'm an ingenue, you know, like what the, you know, I was just playing Clytemnestra. Like I just came from such a different place. I also never really gave a shit if I was successful in Hollywood or not. I mean, I want to produce art, and still I get grouchy when I'm not. So I have absolutely my own drive, and it's not like I'm a serene person, but it didn't necessarily have to be here. I wasn't a movie buff when I was young. So it wasn't like, you know, the Oscars, and I didn't have any of that. So of course I thought what if I, you know, what if Harvey Weinstein had done that to me? And, you know, there's no way to know what I would have done. But again, I'm as interested, as sounds like you are, with the culture around that behavior. Yes. So, you know, if an agent of mine had said, well, men will be men, that would have been tough. But, you know, it's like, okay, I guess that's what you have to do. I mean, I think that's what happened with so many of these women who were smart and talented and, So I don't know. It's interesting, but I honestly don't have any terrible war stories for you, but I tell you, I started producing my own TV show pretty quickly. It's like, I want to be in the room where it happens. You know, I want to be absolutely part of budgeting and hiring and casting. And, you know, I kind of intuited, and, you know, I've been married forever to the best guy in the world. And it's like, oh, I literally want to help run the show, and change the culture that way. You know, I want to throw the party.
Okay. And you're doing that. So yeah, I applaud you for that. This is my, and I mean, I didn't think anything of this until this story came out, but my Harvey Weinstein story is last year I was at the NBC after party for the Golden Globes. And because of Heartbeat, I was, you know, fortunate and blessed enough to meet other successful actors on other shows. So I had befriended another actor on another NBC show, and we had met up at the after party. So we're leaving the NBC party, and we were going, he was going to try and get us into the HBO party is what he was trying to do. But he got a telephone call from another prominent actor. Well, maybe he's more known as a stand-up comedian, but he got another telephone call asking if he wanted to go to the Harvey Weinstein party. So he asked me, he's like, hey, do you want to go to the Harvey Weinstein party? All I knew at this time was Harvey Weinstein was a big producer. That's it. So, yeah, I kind of want to go because I knew that there were going to be cool people that I had watched on TV and film that I would be able to see and meet and say hello to. So we're walking out, and, you know, you had to cross over a red carpet in order to get to the building where his party was. And we saw when we were crossing the carpet, he saw a friend of his, which was a pretty well-known female TV personality. She's not an actress, but she's pretty well known from being a TV personality. And they, you know, exchanged pleasantries. And she said, where are you guys going? And he said, well, we're going to try and get into Harvey Weinstein's party. Do you want to go? And she said nothing, but just the look on her face. He started laughing. And he's like, yeah, I get it. Okay. And she was like, I'm going that way. She didn't say no, she didn't say anything, but when he said Harvey Weinstein, the look on her face told it all. And we had some other people there, so I didn't want to ask him, you know, what the fuck was that about? So we had lunch a couple of weeks later, and I asked him, I was like, you remember that person you introduced me to? I said her name, and he said, yeah, what about her? And I said, why did she look at you the way she did when you asked if she wanted to go to Harvey's party with us? And he said, you don't know? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, well, yeah, you are new in this business. And he started telling me, he told me some of the stories that if you watched that 2020 episode they did on him, he was telling me some of the stories a year ago, almost word for word, that some of these women were recounting to this the gentleman from the New Yorker who did the interview or did the article where all this blew up. So I hadn't the slightest idea. But after our breakfast, I mean, I felt dirty because I liked Harvey Weinstein. I felt dirty because I really wanted to meet this guy. I really wanted to work with this guy. But after I heard all of that, I was like, you know, fuck Harvey Weinstein. Sorry. I mean, I don't mean to say it like that. I do mean to say it like that, but I don't mean to say it like that. But fuck Harvey Weinstein. So that's my little bit of Harvey Weinstein story. And it was just interesting that the message was conveyed without this female personality actually saying a word. And to me, that actually speaks volumes, because that just kind of goes back to, this is something that Hollywood knew. It's just, as I said earlier, no one wants to be a whistleblower.
But why do you think, I've been getting out of Hollywood, how do you, I mean, we, Donald Trump has it on tape that he's in a, you know, a sexual aggressor, and he got elected. Do you think there's that many, I mean, there must be, I mean, I know, because I've, you know, people say, oh, it doesn't really bother me, or that was locker room talk, or boys with boys. I mean, he's under, he's accused of rape, our president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think people don't care, or it's just not what they regard women as so low, or they think it's political? Or, I mean, that's what blows my mind.
If you ask me personally, I think it's see, the my opinion is, the way women are treated in America is almost goes, sorry, but I'm going to say it, it almost goes hand in hand with the level of racism here in America. It's almost just inbred in the heritage, you know? So it's almost like when men are being disrespectful to women, it's such a normal, they don't understand it, or they don't realize that it's something that's an ultimate disrespect. So, yes, I do believe, and if you want to talk about Donald Trump, I believe this country wanted so much of a change that they said, we don't care what he did. Right. We just care that we get a billionaire put in office so that he can put money in our pockets like he put money in his own pockets. So I think because people felt like they were going to get, we were just going to automatically overnight be one of the richest countries in the world. I think people were like, when that, if that tape would have come out on anybody else, forget anybody else, look what happened to Billy Bush. Billy Bush was just laughing. Billy Bush was just like the little kid in headlights looking, listening to his idol. And he lost his job. But if Donald Trump was able to become president of the United States, why did Billy Bush lose his job and Donald Trump not? Because Billy Bush is not a billionaire, and people didn't think that Billy Bush could change their lives the same way Donald Trump. So, yes, I do absolutely believe that when it comes to Donald Trump, or when it comes to someone that can give people some type of gratification, some type of enjoyment in their own personal lives, whatever that person does in their personal life, it doesn't matter. And I think that's one of the biggest problems we have. I think that's one of the biggest problems with this Harvey Weinstein situation. Yes, there are women who, I'm not going to say there aren't women, I'm sure there are some women that heard about Harvey Weinstein and tried putting themselves in his crosshairs. But because they were such easy targets, I don't think Harvey Weinstein would have taken the bait. So, I mean, to me, it seems like you almost have to have some level of resistance towards him or someone like him for him to actually act on it. If you actually go out and you, okay, well, let's do it. Oh, wait, no, that's too easy. I don't know what to do now, you know, because it's not that hard. So, yeah, for a long answer to your question, I do honestly believe that if people feel like they can get over, take for instance, and I'm not here to say whether it was true or false, but take for instance the young lady, I don't remember her name, Gutierrez, Arana Gutierrez, or whatever her name was, the one from Italy that actually had the recording. Okay, so first of all, my thing about that recording is this. I would have liked to have heard a recording where she didn't know she was being recorded and he didn't know he was being recorded. To me, I'm not saying that it was not fair to Harvey Weinstein, but what I'm saying is this woman knew she was this actress or singer knew she was being recorded. So she knew exactly what to say.
She was wearing a wire.
Yeah, she was wearing a wire and she had her cell phone. But, you know, there's also reports coming out that after this situation happened, she goes to Harvey Weinstein and asks him for a movie role. So if there's any truth to that, the same person that did this sting is going to go and ask him for a movie role. In my opinion, that's the type of thing that gives real victims a bad name. Am I fair for saying that, or am I completely off base?
I don't know. I don't know that much about that, and I hadn't heard that. Didn't she wear a wire as part of a police investigation? I mean, she was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think I kind of like my interest, partly because I don't want to. I want to think about the women, and I want to think about the incredible outcry and this righteous making history. I mean, it's such a powerful moment. Mm-hmm. I want to focus on that and less on the fucked upery of Harvey Weinstein. I mean, he's just a fucking pig. You know what I mean? And so he's sick, and I don't know what makes him. I mean, but I think what's really important is that, you know, and again, I think that, you know, I keep sort of equating, saying it's not just in Hollywood. And I think that's true at the same mm-hmm. time. And you understand, because you're an actor, there is this interesting emotionality and this, the membrane of our work is just different, you know, it's just just plain different. And even though Harvey Weinstein is not an actor, he is part of that, and he understands, you know, he's made some great movies, and so he understands there's a looseness, there's a level of conversation, there's a level of you know, bodiness, there's all. So it's interesting because, you know, as you might remember from Heartbeat, I mean, there is, before every production, you know, human resources comes in and you have the sexual harassment seminar. And that's a very serious business, because it's so that the studio can say, listen, here's our policy. And if you go against the policy, you're going to be come up on charges. And, you know, they do. And even though it's, I remember years ago, it always felt really silly, or you're just sort of makes you giggle. And, and then it was really interesting because we had the sexual harassment seminar. Was 1 year in private practice, and you know, this poor woman, like, we're giggling and not being particularly respectful. But finally, I raised my hand and I said, listen, you've got a group of people. I mean, literally, you're making out with strangers, you're taking your clothes off of people you don't know. It's a funny job, you know? Mm-hmm. So with that comes a certain amount of camaraderie, looseness, bodiness. And I said, in our world, what are the rules? You know, because I might joke with somebody and it's like really inappropriate, but they think it's hilarious. Like, what are the rules? Mm-hmm. And she said something that always stayed with me. She said, listen, if it's truly okay between the two people, mm-hmm. do you take that? No.
Yes.
Okay. Should I stop?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. Anyway, then it's okay. Right? That's consensual joking around. But because sound stages have 200 people, let's say what you and I are joking about is pretty offensive to somebody 5 feet away. Mm-hmm. They can go to human resources. So you realize, like, wow, there's so many people, you know, that work together and do this interesting work that you really have to keep a lot of consciousness about it. And Harvey Weinstein was not interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it seems as though we have a caller, and her name is Karen. Karen, are you there?
I am.
Hi,
J. Lewis.
You
and I spoke on Wednesday.
Yes, ma'am.
And you were kind enough to invite me. I wasn't going to call, but the conversation certainly sparked some comments that I'd like to make. They're going to be different than what you've heard. Hello, Amy. I'm Karen.
Hi. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I think I'll just throw out a few things because I know you'll have comments on them. First off, early on, I heard you say, Amy, that you're not unique in Hollywood. And I find, and I've lived in Hollywood, and I was an actor for a while. I made my living in musical comedy and other things. And I think Hollywood is so insular that they don't realize just how unique they are. In the rest of the country, which is often known as flyover country, there's a whole different set of values than Hollywood is putting out there. So I think there are enormously, vastly different values. And your need to lump Donald Trump in the same category as Harvey Weinstein, in my opinion, is, oh, how can I be gentle? Just so off the mark and so unfair and ridiculous, because Donald Trump was never accused of either rape or, well, I guess he was accused of harassment, but it hasn't been adjudicated or proven in any way, and it was part of a political campaign to lump Harvey Weinstein in with Donald Trump when you're talking about what we have evidence of is words as opposed to action. And yet we had a president who literally was credibly accused of rape, and the left-wing Hollywood didn't care one iota about Juanita Broderick or any of the others of Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton was a liberal. So I find the hypocrisy and, again, insularity of liberals in Hollywood who think that they speak for the rest of the country, I think they don't understand how out of touch with everyday people they are.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a comment on that, or shall I just hang up and listen?
Yeah, I think it would be best to just go ahead and hang up and listen.
I mean, I really appreciate your comments. I think whenever there's sexual misconduct or disrespect, it's important to call that out, Democrat or Republican. I was upset, and I think there's a lot of there's a lot of unfinished business around that. I mean, I was a person, and I've been a Democrat in that Access Hollywood van, I was like, wow, you know. And I think what's interesting is, you know, it crosses party lines. It obviously crosses like genders as well. And I don't speak for everybody. I don't know where that comes from, but I think that I appreciate your comments.
Can I just make one other comment? Is that in today's world, in the current culture, we're very imprecise in our language. We all don't have to be lawyers and attorneys at law. I know you've played some on TV, but there's a huge, huge difference in criminal activity between rape and language and disrespect and rape. I mean, next week we hear that there are going to be criminal charges filed against Harvey Weinstein. That is an entirely different thing than what Donald Trump actually said, and it was true, which is when you have a lot of power, he was actually admitting. That doesn't mean he personally did it. He didn't admit to doing anything. What he was saying was, when you have money and power, women throw themselves at you, and in fact, that's true. Right?
He didn't actually say that he actually kisses women, and he didn't actually say he grabs their pussy. I mean, he didn't say he does that. If you're going to say he didn't say it, he didn't actually on the tape say that's what he's done. Am I wrong?
No, actually, I think he did say he does that, as I remember. I'd have to listen to the tape, but you may be right that he admitted that, and that is patently wrong if he said that he did that. But even that is an entirely different level of criminality. I mean, we're Amy, you were talking before about, excuse me?
I agree.
Yeah, so we have to be very precise between somebody who looks at you wrong and you're offended. You know, the Constitution doesn't guarantee your right not to be offended, and rape, as I say, where there is a credible charge. Now, what made me a political activist was when I watched the tape of Juanita Broderick saying that she had been raped, literally, by Bill Clinton when he was governor. And not only did the entire Democrat establishment cover up for him, but everybody covered up for him, as well as Hillary Clinton, who was on the bimbo patrol and actually worked to discredit the women who were accusing her husband. So there is a tremendous double standard, not to mention a lot of political posturing that goes along with this. So I think people just need to be careful. I'll let you go ahead. I want to ask Amy one other question, and I will hang up and get your thought. And this is something you are not ever supposed to ask anybody, but I'm going to ask. Having lived in Hollywood, and I was a chubby character actress, so nobody made passes at me, but I encountered an enormous number of women who would have sold their own grandmother for a part. And I think there becomes, except for rape, when it's against your will, patently 100% wrong, there's an awful lot of times in which women are presented with, I guess, the Faustian bargain, right? Are you willing to do this for that? I read about Joan Crawford and many, many other women all through the history of Hollywood who slept their way to the top and were proud of it. So at what point are women responsible for the choices they make when they make passes at a pretty obnoxious-looking guy like Harvey Weinstein because he has money and power and can give them a part? And it's kind of like what Jay Lewis was saying. If he worked at UPS, they wouldn't be sucking up to him that way.
Don't hang up.
I'll hang up and let you.
No. Don't hang up. Stay on the phone.
Okay.
I would like for Amy to answer that, and then I would like to rebut that really quickly.
Okay. I'm kind of bouncing off you, Jay Lewis, and what you asked, but go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So her question basically was, at what point do women have to take responsibility for sleeping their way to the top with something like this happening with Harvey?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And I think part of, you know, when Jay Lewis and I were talking before, part of the instinct I have against a sort of hysteria, quite honestly, is each case, and it deserves its own moment, as you were talking about, to sort of think it through. And I think that there is a moment where, like, wow, you don't want to, it almost like we women make ourselves victims by saying, you know, there was nothing I could do. It's an interesting, it's a very nuanced question. I think that, you know, what really gets me is, you know, it's the specific stories of okay, you're told, okay, you're going to have a meeting at, you know, the blah, blah, blah hotel, right? And so you go and you'd assume, like, okay, I'm going to meet, you know, in the public space and maybe there'll be another person there. And to be told at that point, like, no, the meeting's up there, you know, and then you go up there and then most of the accounts that I've read, the women have resisted, right? So then that's the systemic thing of like, okay, agent, okay, you know, you're all part of kind of serving up, you know, this person that wants to be employed. So the accounts that I was reading, they weren't doing the Joan Crawford thing and sleeping there, you know, making that choice. They were really trying to get out of this situation where they literally were served up. And that's the stuff where that's systemic. And that's where I'm more interested in talking about the systemic piece than the specific sexual depravity of this one guy.
And just to, I have another caller, so I have to be brief here.
Sure.
But I just wanted you to stay on the phone for me to tell you, not everything is Democrat Republican. Not everything is the left side of the aisle, the right side of the aisle. This is not a Republican. First of all, this is not a Republican thing. This is not a Democrat thing. We're not talking about anything that happened with Bill Clinton. We are talking about a real situation that is going on in a real industry with real people happening today. I don't give a flying floozy what political party they're with. I could really give a damn less what color they are. So this isn't even a racial thing. So to bring Democrat, Republican into a conversation like this, with all due respect to you, and I do thank you for your comment. I'm not saying you should not have called in, and I don't want to not have people call in. If I just because I don't agree with something someone says doesn't mean I don't want to hear from them. But I feel as though when you hear something as you heard of Donald Trump and you want to take it to a political level, I think that's where part of our disconnect happens. This doesn't have shit
but
to
Jay
do with
Lewis,
Republicans
it
and
is
Democrats.
Political. It is political because
Karen, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I am not one of these people that has a talk show where you try and argue a point or you speak over me. I do conversations. I don't have arguing matches. When I say that this is not something that is political, you can either agree with me or you can disagree with me, but please don't try and speak over me because that's not the way I run my show. I don't do that. I didn't do that to you on your show, so I'm asking you not to do it on mine. I don't care what political party anybody is in. This does not have shit to do with the political party. This has to do with a sexual predator using his power in the wrong ways. I don't care who it is. I don't care if he has been a Democrat for 20 years. I don't care if he's been a Republican for 50 fucking years. I really don't care. It is not a political issue. Please do not try and take an issue like this and make it political. It's not. Harvey Weinstein is not running for a political office. The women that he sexually abused, the women that he sexually assaulted, they are not running for any political office. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can, but as strongly as I can. Fuck politics right now. I don't want to hear a word about politics right now, because that's not what this conversation is about. When you come on my show Wednesday, oh, we for damn sure are going to talk about some politics. But today, this conversation has nothing to do with politics. I'm sorry to get as animated as I am, but you don't ever talk over me like that when I'm trying to make a point. That's just not what happens here. It really doesn't. So I thank you for your call. I appreciate your call. I look forward to speaking to you on Wednesday. Now, we have Nunzia on line two. Nunzia, how are you, ma'am? Hello?
Hi.
I'm
sorry, but I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I'm doing very well. Do you want to ask Amy or me a question?
Oh, thank you. And a moment, please. My question is, do you think about production of other TV shows that discussing that important topic you talk about daily, like gun control, abortion, and sexual harassment?
Okay, I think I got her question. I think this question is for you, Amy. I think her question is, what is your opinion, or would you ever produce a TV show talking about sexual harassment or, you know, subjects like that? I think that's what her question is. And I can tell you this, this is one of your biggest fans from Italy. So she is calling from Italy. So you have to excuse the, you know,
I know, I know who she is.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, I think that's what her question was.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I think I think to Jay Lewis's point and thinking about Karen who called in, which I was really grateful that she called in and expressed herself. But I think that you want to make a story so it's not soapboxy, right? I think at this point in our country, we're very triggered and we assume it's like, okay, you're from Hollywood, you believe that. You own a gun, you believe that. You know, it's getting very, very heightened. So I think with drama, with any good drama, you want to tell a complex story, right? And you want to tell a surprising story. Otherwise, it's like, why am I watching it? I already know what it's going to be. So, I think with these more hot button, I mean, sexual harassment stuff that's kind of complex by nature. But I'm working with somebody now on a script about an abortion clinic, and it's got to be surprising, and people do surprising things. And it's not just, here's my politics and I'm going to try to convince you. It's a story. So any good story is going to be surprising and unexpected. Did I answer your question?
Oh, but thank you.
And you're
thank you, Amy.
You're
sorry for my voice, but I'm so very shy. My name is Nuncia from Team Amy.
You're doing great. It's
you
nice
absolutely
to talk
are. Thank you for calling. She sent me, she actually, thank you very much, thank you very much, Nunzio. She actually sent me a message, Amy, and asked me if she would be able to call in and speak to you. The whole time Heartbeat was on, this was definitely one of the people that was always, on the Twitter or on Facebook, loving our show. So I have absolute appreciation for Miss Nunzio.
Yes. They're an awesome group.
Yes. Now, I want to, let me just clear up our first caller.
I got no problem with that, by the way. You don't have to protect me around that.
I mean, okay, so.
No, I think, and honestly, in fairness to Karen, if you're listening, I mean, I think you might have read that I began the politics of it by, equating Trump and Harvey Weinstein, which I do, frankly, although I really appreciate, he's going to have many other charges leveled against him. But in fairness, a comment on a bus is not exactly what Harvey Weinstein did. However, the reason I equate it is that, and I think that's what's been upsetting for a lot of us, is his disregard for all sorts of populations. I have a daughter with a disability. We don't, I like the way, the fact that he didn't show more leadership when you have white supremacists, calling themselves Nazi. I mean, it's so then I'm like, okay, I don't trust you to keep. Our country is so vastly heterogeneous, and we have just an incredible variety of all sorts of people that have a right to be here. And when our elected leadership is not showing equanimity toward all those groups, they should hear from it, Democrat or Republican.
And I don't want it to seem like I have a double standard, but what I meant by I don't want to hear about politics, when you start coming into the conversation talking about the Democrats did this and Republicans this, it's not that specific for me. There is enough going on with this situation. It's kind of like, and I mean, I don't mean to muddy the waters, but it's kind of like the whole argument people have about NFL players kneeling. When you take a situation and you try to add, well, it's because of this, well, it's because of that, well, they're doing it because of this. No, fuck you. Sit down, shut up, and listen to what they're saying. Listen to why they're saying they did it. No woman came out against Harvey Weinstein because Harvey Weinstein is running for office. No woman came out against Harvey Weinstein because they are running for office. This was not a politically charged thing. Nobody came out because of politics. So when you want to bring up something that happened over 20 years ago, and you want to try and say, well, Democrats this, Republicans this, and then also, when you want to come on my show and not know what you're talking about, Donald Trump very clearly said, I grab their pussies. I don't even like using that word. I call it a punani, just saying, but I don't even like using that word. But he said that, and I'm not crazy. That's what the man said.
Right.
He said, I will grab them and kiss them. That's what he said. I don't remember if he said against their will or not. I don't think he was that crazy. But how many women would just allow somebody to do that? So if you want to say what Harvey Weinstein did is more than what Donald Trump did, I can't see it, because Donald Trump was talking about what he did. Harvey Weinstein got in trouble for what he did. Both of them were physical acts, but to come into this show right now and start trying to throw Democrat and Republican around,
I understood, and I think that, again, I really, I don't want to stereotype or monolithically, you know, I think what Karen was saying is Hollywood I think it's actually much more nuanced than this, but you know, there's a liberal progressiveness, you know, so therefore people didn't come down on Bill Clinton in the same way that they come down on Donald Trump. That could be true. And I, you know, whatever activated her into politics is great too. I think that there's no doubt that, all violence toward everybody. I mean, the hate crimes since that man was elected, it makes my skin crawl, you know. So he has not condemned a culture of violence and bias. And it's also super hard to see a whole bunch of men decide what I can have for my health care and what they consider birth control. I mean, it's so chauvinistic, you can't even, and that actually arguably doesn't happen in like Democratic finances. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, listen, she and I, you know, disagree, you know, but to your point too, I think that each, you know, we are in a very reactive, very emotional, it's a very interesting time here in this country. It's not all bad. I think it's, people are waking up and participating and speaking their minds. And now we've got to, you know, remember that we are a very, very, as I said, are a heterogeneous society. And until we can actually have a civilized conversation, we probably shouldn't pretend to have a democracy. So, you know, time will tell.
Absolutely. Now, we are almost out of time, but I do want to very quickly hit, ask your opinion. We'll ask this question about Kevin Spacey. Because it has been reported that one of the people that he assaulted was an underage gentleman, or an underage guy. This is a hard question to ask, and I hope you understand it. Do you think Kevin Spacey is in a darker light than Harvey Weinstein because the people that, or some, there are allegations that there were underage males involved with Kevin Spacey. Do you think that's worse, or do you think, hey, they in the same room?
There's no doubt in my mind that Harvey Weinstein assaulted underage women. There's just no doubt.
Okay. Okay. All right. So then.
It's all the same muck, you know?
Okay. I read a report.
I did think I, like most people, thought that that was like a really weird way to, you know, it's like, I, by the way, I'm gay kind of thing. I was like, yeah. Wow, wrong on so many levels, you know. So I don't know if that, if he thought that would make us more sympathetic or, you know, I don't know. It's all coming out, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I heard that, or not I heard, but I read a report that CAA dropped Kevin and his publicist dropped him. So being as how CAA is one of the more powerful agencies in this town, do you think, I asked you earlier if you thought Harvey Weinstein would be able to make a comeback? Do you think Kevin Spacey, whether he does jail time or not, do you think his career is done?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I the swiftness of these actions worry me. Not necessarily that they're not deserved, or but, you know, when anything, you know, it's women on the red carpet being asked about, you know, they have to come up with their rape story. When anything,
yeah, becomes, right.
Fashion, especially, I'm not saying these actions were not appropriate. I don't know. I also think sometimes I was speaking with friends at a dinner the other night, and you know, sometimes when actions are very, very swift and they seem almost like too swift, it could very well be it's a tip of an iceberg situation. There's a whole lot of other things that we will never even know about.
Yeah.
I think we are in a moment of, you know, what's that phrase in the court of law? We're in, it's this moment of discovery, you know, it's the process of discovery.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I think that this is an extraordinarily important moment. And much as, you know, your caller, Karen, may disagree, I think it is a response to a lot of how women have felt. Not all women, you know, she's doesn't feel that way. But the idea of being so squashed. And for me, you know, I'm very active in reproductive rights. And the idea that we are going back to questioning whether women can have birth control.
Yeah.
That does feel like the last gasp of the patriarchy, to be honest with you. I mean, it's so outrageous and so out of step with the times. And it just seems like a true backlash that I kind of hold on to that sliver of hope. I hold on to a lot of hope. I actually have a lot of hope that whatever people... It's such an extreme time that people are coming forward and engaging in a way that they might not.
Okay.
Whatever their political party is.
Whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. You're absolutely right. Last question. Last question of the night. Where would you like to see the Hollywood industry go from here? What changes, what specific changes, just a few off the top of your head, would you like to see enforced by our current SAG president? By the way, there is a, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's a meeting at the SAG office on November 14th. Gloria Allred is going
that.
To be hosting it. I'm thinking I'm going to try and see if I can go to that. I would love to. But what would, if you were at this, if you went to this and we as actors had a chance to stand up and give ideas of what changes need to be made, what changes is quadruple threat Amy Brenneman going to bring to the table?
Well, I think there's micro and macro. I think on the micro, you never have a meeting or an audition one-on-one. Like, you always have your rep with you, you know, and then a whole bunch of people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a very implementable and effective thing to do. And then I think on the macro level, you know, my husband is really involved with the DGA and the numbers and, you know, people of color, like women. I mean, the numbers are so dismal in terms of who is actually, you know, telling stories. There's so little diversity. that I think that, you know, as soon as you have, you know, a Jill Soloway or a Wonder Woman, or it's like, what, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think to not look at Wonder Woman as an anomaly, but it's like, wow, that was, you know, directed by a woman. It's about this woman superhero, and it cleaned up. It yes. made money. So all you bean counters, if that's what you're interested in, you know, don't do it because it's like good for you, or you have to, or if it's politically correct, it's going to make you money.
Yeah.
So I think that the more people, the more diverse the leadership is, both producerially on the studio level and behind the camera, the more we're going to further this conversation, and the safer people will feel to actually express who they are.
Okay. Is there anything you would like to share with, because I know the Brennamaniacs are listening, the Amy Italias are listening, everybody is listening. So is there anything coming up for you that you would like to share with your fans and my listeners?
WordPress?
Yeah.
I did a pilot that we're waiting to hear, but that would take me to New Orleans for a couple months this spring. It's very dark, very intense, very violent.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Developing a comedy because after Leftovers, and you know, I'm in like heavy world. And then developing shows. Brad and I have a production company together, so we're always like cooking the stew on that. And writing a lot more of my own writing too.
Just understand, Forrester, a.k.a. Jay Lewis, is available whenever you need him.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Amy. I really enjoy the openness that you gave. I enjoyed the answers you gave. I'm just honored and am just thankful that you decided to have this conversation with me tonight.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for doing it and inviting me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. We've got to have you back sometime. Hopefully, we're talking about something a lot more lighter.
Cheerier.
Situation. But I, again, as I said when I first started this, I really did. And I didn't ask anybody else to do this. I really wanted your opinion. I don't know if you remember the audition that I did for you for Heartbeat. But I didn't even know you were going to be in the room, and I didn't even know it was you. If you remember, you had on a sun hat, and you were looking down, and then when you looked up, I was just like, oh my gosh, you're Amy Brenneman. And for a quick moment, I was really nervous, but then just as quickly as I was nervous, I dropped that, and I said, dude, you're about to audition for Amy fucking Brenneman.
Aww.
So to me, I mean, I was a Judging Amy fan. I think that's one of the things that I have a problem controlling. Like take for instance, Heartbeat. Every one of my castmates on Heartbeat, I was a fan of theirs.
Mm.
You know, and that was my first job. So I'm like a kid in the candy store. I'm having a conversation with D.L. Hughley. I'm good friends with Jamie Kennedy. You know, that kind of thing. I'm homeless 2 years before this. So that kind of thing, I never thought that would happen.
Mm.
So you have to understand just the level of gratefulness and graciousness I have for you because you gave me my first job. I'm not saying, and I don't know if the whole decision was just yours, but I know you were part of that decision. And I auditioned for you. And that's all Ella and Ms. Bacharach. But at the same time, you will always hold a place in my heart just for what you did for me on Heartbeat. And I, again, greatly appreciate you for coming on tonight.
My honor.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. All right, people. We did it. I think it was a bit of a success. Make sure if you didn't catch the video part of this, make sure you go to my Facebook page, my actor page. You'll be able to see it. I can't say if you didn't hear it, go to the archive, because if you're not listening, you can't hear me say that. So I'm not going to say that. But, yeah, we're done. We're good. Thank you very much. I love you all. J. Lewis Mills on the level. We're out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.